South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Wednesday Live. David, it's great to have you back. You did a little romping around the country.
Yes, I visited some friends. It's my mic is all the way over there. That button is.
I was getting to it.
I know. Yeah, I visited some friends, dear friends in South Carolina, and then just to get away for about a week. It was wonderful, but I'm glad to be back.
And we're going to be hearing, I believe, from a little more from some of the friends that you were up with, and that's going to be a great thing down the road. Looking forward to that. We're so glad that you've joined us today. This is Wednesday Live, and you're listening to 89.9, and we're coming to you right out of our beautiful studio here in Palm City, Florida.
Beautiful.
Welcome, Karen.
Yes, good morning.
To all of your fans that are out there that listening to your new program, it's quite awesome.
Yes, thank you to my fans for writing letters in, sending material. I really appreciate that.
Please do that. And sometimes we even get cats on the envelopes.
Yes, absolutely, we do.
We do, in the stamps and other little things that come along. And you have a great program. We're getting very good responses from our listeners in regards to Hidden Places. And so if you're part of the Hidden Places family and you're listening in on that and you're blessed by it, or you have some ideas and thoughts you'd like to send to Miss Karen, just send them right here to 2960. That's WCNO, 2960 Southwest Map Road, 2960 Southwest Map Road, Palm City, Florida. And, of course, that's 34990, and that will come to the station. We'll get that right to Karen. And, David, your program is doing really well, too. We get a lot of strong responses as well, front line.
Yes, I do, and I'm just thankful. The Lord is using both Karen's and myself in a powerful way. And the people, obviously, it's Holy Spirit, the people we have. And, you know, I have a fan, too. But every now and then I have to open it up and clean the dust off the plates.
Well, you also have books coming in. I see the books being left for you as well, David.
Yes,
and,
that's true.
And in all seriousness, we really appreciate your response to us, because that is very beneficial in knowing that you're out there, you're listening. And I think most of all that that we know that God is utilizing the giftings that's right here at the station and letting us be a blessing to your family, and that is our desire for sure. Well, I've got to just say to all of our family, and many of you participated in the tower giving toward the new equipment for the transmitter. I want to say a huge thank you to all of you that were involved in that. And that moved us right up to this most current fundraising season, where we had 2 weeks. It's our fall prayer and share season. And we did send out, all of our mail that we are able to. And we have received a great deal of response. We did finish with $177,174 is where we actually finished. You can go online and you can see these numbers. They're probably going to be up at least today. But we are going to be transitioning. So the pledges, our actual goal was $225,000. So we fell short of our goal basically by like the last month, David. That's about where we were. Yeah. Because we've already had some additional funds coming in. And I know that many of you just did not get your responses back in. So I want to encourage you to go ahead and send those in, send your donations in, because we are at this point, the computer says $47,826 short of fully reaching the budget. But keep in mind that already we're receiving donations that were not counted, because we told you during prayer and share that if you mail it out during prayer and share, we may not get it during prayer and share. And so that's exactly what happened, Karen.
That's exactly what happened.
But it will come in.
That's right. Yeah. We count them as they come in.
So Amen. We're going to kind of change our focus online, and we're going to give a record of that's what right. funds have actually come in already. And so what you will see is what our operational budget is in funds that we've received to date. And, of course, many of our listeners made pledges. And David, again, just mentioned what a pledge is, because some may have a response card in hand and they just mm-hmm. haven't responded yet, and a pledge is still good.
And you're looking at that card and you said, really, I have an idea what I want to give, but I don't have it in my bank.
Right.
So that's a pledge, is you send the card in and say, you know, what you would love to give when you have it. We'll send a letter back to you with a return envelope, and when you can, when that money is comes in, then you can send it in or call in with a bank card.
Amen. Amen. And that'll work great. And David, while you were out of town, you actually had an opportunity to talk with a friend of the ministry's.
Yes.
That
yes.
gave toward the tower.
Yes, it was. In fact, I can mention names, full names, because she's going to be on the air with us.
Okay.
In a couple of weeks on my program. But it's Stephanie Pennington, dear friend. Many listeners will say, in this area will say, I know her.
I know her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were at the church I went to when I moved here in 98. We did some great ministry together, and they moved back to South Carolina in 2011. Her husband died a year ago in November, so we'd gone up for the celebration of life and reconnected with her, decided we're going to stay in touch, so we went back up on our break. And her son, who lives up there with his wife and their two kids, and was just very grateful to see us again, and but also grateful for the radio ministry. And so he gave us a check. I guess I can mention the amount.
Sure.
For $1,000 for the tower.
Praise God.
So that's awesome.
And, yes, and I mean, it was just out of his
heart. From out of state.
Out of state, out of his heart.
Out of state. That is tremendous. And that just affirms that God is our provider. Mm. And how many times did we say that during
yes,
Hear and Share?
That's right.
That, you know, the way God's going to provide, we really don't know. Here you're on taking a little holiday, a few days off,
yeah.
and God's talking to people's hearts. And I want to again mention that we have Sister Coy that's down south. She donated a CRV, a Honda vehicle, which we have not been able to sell yet because it's whatever the problem is, it's a pesky little problem. It's probably minor. But once we get that resolved, we're going to be selling that. So that's going to bring a few thousand dollars in toward the tower fund. And also we have another vehicle that because we had a donated Jeep that's going to replace our fond memories of Wobbly.
The Jeep.
You know, I'm sorry you can't see Wobbly, but if you rode with me out to the tower, you would experience the wobble because it does. But we're still waiting on insurance and some things to get back to us from the home office. But once that's done, that four-wheel drive Jeep, it was patched up, and Pepito helped us with that, with the transmission. And, you know, Karen, we have such an awesome family.
Yes.
Everybody just comes together.
That's right.
And one person's able to do this, somebody does something else, and so we have, you know, like the gentleman yesterday that came in with his renewal on his business partnership, Brother Alfonso, and you know, it was just awesome ministry, just listening to him and him sharing about what God's doing. So we do have an awesome family. We want to thank all of you who have participated, but we do want to say, if you have not yet responded, please do. And we do need your donations, and I think sometimes once prayer and share is over, it might be easy to think, oh, well, that's over, so I don't need to worry about it. You know, maybe my gift wasn't that important. But as I said, we raised almost the first 5 months, and so that means the sixth month we really haven't covered yet. So we are trusting God that God's going to provide for that. With the selling of the vehicles and with this $1,000, I believe that that we are going to cover the cost of the new equipment out at our radio tower. And if you want to see more about that, don't we have pictures online, Karen?
Yes, if you go to WCNO.com, right there on the homepage, you can see some of the pictures of the equipment, and mm-hmm. I think Sherry made a link on there to if you want to sit and look at the slideshow of all the stuff going on at the tower.
You can do that. And I'm still running back and forth because our computer link is not fully functional yet, though the transmitter is working perfect. Thank God for that. Now we just have some of the miscellaneous connectors that still have to be taken care of. And so I had one trip out there this week so far, and we're waiting on the next phone call that can come anytime to head to the woods. And so that'll happen any day. But as we get the rest of these little minor things put together with the engineers and the team that's working, we're going to continue to sharpen our signal and, by the grace of God, continue to bring great Christian programming to you, our family. So thank you for making that possible. And remember, we are a listener-supported station, and so your support is very important. And I do believe some of you who are first-time maybe listeners and givers, I just want to say a thank you to you. Mm-hmm. And others who have been listening for a long time, and you've never given to the ministry yet, but God was kind of talking to you about that, let me encourage you to go ahead and make that gift or make that pledge, because it is needed to cover the last month. Karen, give out the contact information, and then we'll move on to another topic.
Yes, if you'd like to make a pledge or a donation, you can call us at 772-221-1100. You can also give at the website, WCNO.com, and you can also give by text, by texting WCNO to 24365.
I had a phone call yesterday, Karen, from someone at New Hope Church that's right here in Martin County. Mm-hmm. They have a special Christmas event that's coming up, and they were just wondering if we would have a means by which we could promote that on their behalf. And it just so happens we do. So many times churches don't let us know what's going on, so we can't let our listeners know what's going on. So Karen, talk a little bit about Community Calendar. How does that work, and how do people get the information in that you need to actually get that on air?
Yeah, the Community Calendar, which airs Monday through Friday, 6 a.m., 6 p.m., well, 6:05. If you have an event that you're putting on, such as New Hope will be doing, an event that's free and open to the public, if you're having a garage sale, if you're having a bake sale, whatever you're doing, if you're giving things out, but it's free and open to the public, then we'll be happy to put that on the announcements. And we have a lot of listeners in our area. So if you're, especially like the Methodist women, they, every year they give us their announcement, they're doing their yard sale, and they have quite a great turnout for that. And then there's one in Jupiter and Tequesta. And anyway, if you have an event taking place and you would like to get the word out, then just send it in form of a PSA, you know, who, what, where, when.
Right.
And a contact person with a phone number will be happy to put that on the air for you.
So we have people, for free. There's no charge for that.
Absolutely free, right.
So people call and say, well, what would it cost for us to let people know that we're doing a Christmas cantata, or we're doing a resurrection cantata, or we're having a special missions event, or we're having an evangelistic series of services? Mm-hmm. You know, what would that cost us? Well, it's not going to cost you anything as long as you're not charging and collecting money for it. Now, if you're selling tickets and people are paying to attend, then if you want for us to promote that, then it's actually an event that has income, so we would ask you to lift some of the cost of our ministry here as well. So that, I think that's well understood. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about this because Christmas is coming, right. And right now is the time that we should be getting those emails.
Yeah, absolutely.
And where would they send the email?
That can go to WCNO at WCNO.com. That's the easiest way. If you have a flyer, send that in. But again, in the body of your email, write out how you want it to be presented. Because, you know, a lot of times you just send me a flyer, then I just kind of have to sift around in there, and I may not articulate it the way that you would.
Right, so we really want to represent your event as clearly and succinctly as we can.
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent. Now, we do have some local issues we wanted to, information that we wanted to disperse. Dave, you have something, and I think, Karen, you may have a letter or something from our listeners.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Martin County has several advisory committees that informed the Martin County Commission.
Which is excellent.
Oh, it's excellent.
And they let us know about them, and yes. So it's an opportunity, really, for people to get involved.
Yes, especially Christians. If you're complaining about what you see you don't like, get on a committee. But anyway, I'll tell you briefly that the one committee is Affordable Housing Advisory Committee. There are several vacancies, as I understand. There are several qualifications. We know you have to be a member or live in Martin County, and there are several other qualifications. But, you know, there's openings there. And I'll give you the contact information at the end of this list. There's also the Golden Gate Neighborhood Advisory Committee vacancy. And you have to be live in Golden Gate area. And there's some other qualifications, too. Of course, you have to live in Martin County as well and be a registered voter and all of that. And then the last committee is Treasure Coast Community Action Agency Advisory Board vacancy.
Sounds important.
Boy, it sure does. The more words, the more important it is. But anyway, and of course they all advise the Martin County Commission. They're all people, and this particular one, you have to represent business, industry, labor, religious, welfare, educational interest in the county. If this has sparked your attention, any one of these, you can contact Donna Gordon, who's in the Martin County Administration, at 772-288-5756, or you can email her at dgordon@martin.fl.us.
There we have it. Okay, so those are great opportunities to get involved. And I'm just going to call it ministry because, they're not paid positions. But you think about what Daniel did and the impact that Daniel had and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had in the nation because they were there. I mean, if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had not been in a place of influence in the government, we wouldn't have their story. Mm-hmm. And the whole nation would not have had an opportunity to experience the power of God. In other words, you know, I guess if we use the term loosely, we could say they got fired.
That's right. Yeah.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got fired. But they got delivered. And so maybe your stand in the marketplace, your stand bringing your gifts into local government, and letting your light shine in a visible place is something that we in the church should seriously pray and do more of.
And just to quickly say, all of these advisory committees give Christians an opportunity to input in two main areas, stewardship of funds and morality.
Which is huge.
A lot of these things involve meeting people's needs, and there's a moral basis to how we do that. So, let's hear from Christ people.
There we go. And again, these are available. We try to share these from time to time. Karen, we have at least one note, or do you have a couple there to share with us today?
We have two notes here.
Okay.
The first one is from Carolyn and Carol, and they said, thanks for being there. We love WCNO and all of you guys. God bless you and your families. Your families are in our prayers.
Amen. Well, thank you.
They always send a nice
call. That's very, very, very much appreciated because we like to hear from our listeners. And a lot of times, you know, a donation will come in and there'll be a little note, or sometimes it's just a God bless. But I always look for those. You know, when I open the envelopes, you know, I look for prayer requests. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for any praise reports, looking for notes that may come along. And actually, there is one that I have as well. And maybe I'll just sneak it in right here. But first, Karen, how can people get prayer requests to us? Because we do like to lift those up when you send them.
Yes, we do. You can go to the website, WCNO.com, and there's on the menu there, it has a prayer request form. You just click on that. I think you just have to put your name and then just type in whatever your prayer request is. And we do read them and we do pray over them individually and as a group. So we encourage you to do that, or you can email.
That works.
If you don't want to go to the website, you can email WCNO@WCNO.com and just let us know in the not the body, in the subject line, prayer request. And
we had some great praise reports as well come through online, and occasionally we're blessed to hear a little bit of your God story. You know, we'd love to hear how you came to find WCNO, when that happened, and how this ministry has had some impact on your life or your family. And, you know, we had several of those during prayer and share that were quite excellent.
Yes, and it is an encouragement to us, too, because, again, you know, you might be in your car, in your home, you're listening all day long, and, you know, we don't see you, we don't know you, and, you know, we're here, so... We don't know who's listening. That's my thing.
Until you talk to us.
That's right.
Karen, let's talk about Ed for a minute. Now, you spoke with Ed. Ed called in. And we're not going to give last names. We don't need to do that. But Ed called in. And just give the synopsis of his story with you.
Well, Ed called in last week, and it sounded like an older gentleman. And he asked me, you know, do you think that a lot of young people listen to this station? And I said, well, of course. We, you know, we have people from every age group. We have very young ones, too. I mean, I know there's an 88-year-old, and I know when Evelyn was here, she was 90, and she listened to the station.
Sure.
So, you know, we have that large demographic of people. And he said, well, you know, I'm just wondering because a lot of the music, or he said some of the music, you know, it's like maybe the drums are too loud or the guitar. And so he was just curious because he, you know, obviously he does not like that loud music, which is what I was, he didn't say it, but that's what he was saying.
And what you were hearing.
That was what I was hearing. And, you know, so I told him that we just have a lot of different types of music, and we just try to have something for everybody. Mm-hmm. And of course there's stuff on the station that we've happily removed.
We have been on an ongoing basis.
Right. So, you know, we're trying to balance out the music, maybe, let me just put it that way, to where it's the most popular things for certain times and age groups.
Right.
I guess maybe we could put it that way. But you know, it's pretty much if you don't like this song, then maybe the next one you'll enjoy.
There you go.
And it's, you know, it doesn't last forever. It's just, you know, 3 or 4 minutes of music. But we do appreciate your calls and your concerns about the music.
And part of the message, because I got involved in this excuse me, because there was a message left. Ed left a message after, I think, talking with you. So I did attempt to call him back because we want to talk with our listeners. And when you send something, it is important to us. And I wanted to hear what he heard. I want to be able to go back to that moment and check our logs and be able to say, okay, this is what was actually playing. Because as you said, we have removed a lot of songs that... maybe in their day, Tom and the team that was here, they put them in, and so that was, you know, going back 30-plus years ago, almost 34 years ago, music has changed quite a bit. And so some of those songs, when I hear occasionally a song, I'm like, what? How did that get on there? And so, you know, I learned from you, I take my camera and my phone and just take a picture of the time that it's on the radio. And then, you know, we've actually pulled over 1,000 songs out of our playlist.
More than that.
Yeah, much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one thing Ed said, well, you know, I understand you have a lot of music and it's probably computer driven or something. And he said, you probably don't even listen to the music, you know, that's playing or what's being loaded. Well, we actually do.
Yes, I do.
We do. And we do not just put any music on this station. I want you to understand that. We're looking for a message that builds the body of Christ, lifts up Jesus, and that's God-honoring. And we do know that we have a wide demographic of listeners as far as age and background. So we do have a variety of, you might say, traditional, coming from different traditions, different styles of music, just like, you know, our neighborhoods are made up with many different restaurants, and so that's the case. We have that here. But we don't just put anything on. Yesterday, I probably went through, I'm going to guess somewhere between 30 to 50 songs. And there wasn't one song that I selected out of those songs to come on this station. Mm-hmm. And so we have people sending us tracks all the time. They want us to listen to their music. In fact, we have those coming from all over the world mm-hmm. that come to us. That's from right. different cultures and different groups, different musicians. And so we are selective, and we want to hear from you. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we, you know, I know when I download music, I'm looking, like you said, for the message. It's got to be edifying to the Lord. And I personally look for songs that you're directing your words to the Lord.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not so much about me. There's some songs about me, you know, what God's done for me and stuff. But I tend to always look for something that's going to lift up the Lord to cause you to turn your face towards him.
So popular and charted does not mean it's going to be on our station.
Correct.
I listened to a very new song yesterday by an extremely, if I mention the name, everybody most would know of this artist, but I listened to this new song. It said absolutely nothing about Christ, and it didn't, it sounded like, you know, if you tried really hard, maybe you could find a Christian, you know, message somewhere in there, a topical message in it, Dave. So that there was maybe a topic there, which was basically like everything's going to be all right or something like that, right? Well, you know, I listened to that and I thought, you know what? Everything's not right and everything's not going to be all right for a whole lot of people who don't get their faith right.
Right.
A lot of people are trusting in the wrong things today. And so I listened to the song and I said, no, that's not something we'll put on the station, because the message is too generic and it's not specific that Jesus Christ is the answer. So I'm kind of belaboring this a bit, but I want to just say it matters to us what matters to you.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all, for all of us as a family, can we agree that we want to glorify God? We want to minister not only to our own personal preference, but also to one another. And we want to recognize that the body of Christ is varied and that the message is presented through different styles, mm-hmm. but that the message must be God-honoring. And so,
well, just to add one thing is that we will sometimes put on a tune that that fulfills all of the requirements, but yet may not be a genre of music we personally listen to.
Right.
That's true.
Absolutely. So when it's not just what we like and you're getting just what we like. It says we're listening in the spirit and to this great music. And maybe I won't listen to that piece, but somebody will.
Somebody else may. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
For real. You know, I was listening to, I believe it was Joshua Aaron that was in a concert with Paul Wilbur, Joshua Aaron, and there was another Messianic singer, minister that was there. And a comment was made that as they write music, they're looking for it to be scripturally accurate and for it to have a biblically balanced message in it. And not about our feelings, mm-hmm. not so much about feelings, this and that, but something that will pull our heart toward God and pull our focus there. And I thought, that's a valid point, and I appreciate that. And a lot of the music is with the Psalms and such forth, you know, that they do. But there's a lot of great music, and obviously we can't have all of it here, and everyone's personal preference isn't going to be in every song. But if you will join us in prayer, that God will guide us, because we do take it serious and just wanted to make that known. Karen, any more mail?
Yes, we did have a letter here.
For one more letter. Let's share that.
This letter from Eunice. She says, "Dear Karen, I'm a listener to WCNO 24/7. I listen to your program on Fridays. The testimonies of believers are interesting and inspiring. You have said many times, we all have a testimony. It is a valid witness of the love of God in each believer's life. On one of your chats with David and Jonathan, this must have been during Prayer and Share, you spoke of God's amazing grace and mercy, and it sparked the song I sung in the choir. And the song refers to your grace and mercy brought me through, and I'm living this moment because of you. So she says, when I wrote the names Jonathan and David, I thought of the Bible story, Jonathan loving David as his own soul, a measure of love for all to meet, the agape love. I know there are no coincidences in the kingdom of God. Two servants of the Lord with the same name. They are sharing the gospel in the capacity of their calling. I thank God for all of you, keeping and inspiring me to continue serving in spirit and in truth. In his service, Eunice.
Oh,
that's an amazing.
That's
thank
cool.
you, Eunice. That was just such
really
a blessing.
That's such a blessing to us, and we mentioned this during our meeting this morning in our time of prayer, that that's really our goal, and that is to minister within our calling and to do that for the glory of God. And so we take that seriously, and so we thank you very much for that note, Eunice, and great encouragement, and thank you also for referring Hidden Places in the ministry that Karen has here on the team, and that's quite great.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Quite great. We have we have some guests that are going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes, as we often do.
Yes.
On Wednesday Live, and so we're going to go to this next song, which is a revival. And David, we continue to not just pray, but believe, and also work toward revival, salvation, a great awakening in our land. So let's just turn our hearts toward the Lord for a moment. We'll be right back and welcome our guest as we continue.
Only you can heal our land. And only you can make things right again. Come chase our wandering hearts, these prodigals we are. Don't wait. We'll be right back.
We are back, and this is Wednesday Live, WCNO in Palm City, Florida. Keep your dial set right there in 89.9. We have some awesome guests, and I'm looking at a song that ended up, the number ended up on the table here, and it's God of Miracles. And I somehow am just thinking that this group of brothers that have joined us today probably are here because of a few miracles that God did. Mm-hmm. I want to welcome Don, who is a dear friend of mine, chaplain, and he ministers in our county. And Don, greet everyone.
Good morning.
I can't see you waving, bro.
Don is waving. And don't think Don is that shy. Actually, Don has one of the best senses of humor that that I know of anyone to have. God's gifted him, and he's a great blessing. Don, your ministry is primarily where?
In Martin County Jail.
Martin County Jail. Do you see any victories going on there?
Oh, my. You don't have that much time. You don't have that much time. God's alive, and he's doing well, and the guys actually, I think, are listening to us right now because they were told we were going to be on the radio, so this is all for them.
It's all for them.
This is all for them.
And Don, you actually brought to my attention that that Sean is someone that we should be talking to.
Yes.
And Sean, you brought along Vic. So Sean, tell us who you are, what you do, and I know you're with Dunklin. Tell us what your place is there.
Sure. So Sean, I've been at Dunklin for almost 11 years, and been going in doing the. We have a jail program. Dunklin Memorial Church has a program out towards Okeechobee that helps drug addicts and alcoholics. And we just mirror that program in the Martin County Jail. I've been going back in since 2015 full-time. And we really just, you know, we're there to just get guys to turn their lives around and find the Lord and just learn how to, you know, not just help the men in there, but, you know, the cool thing is we see the impact in not just them, but their whole families, mm-hmm. their children, their moms, their dads, mm-hmm. brothers and sisters. So we really do see that it's bigger than just the men that we're serving in there.
It's a great harvest field, isn't it?
Most definitely.
Great harvest field. Now, who is Vic? He looks like he's almost perfect, but, you know. I know where this guy's been for 15 years. How did you come in? What is your part?
Okay, so my name is Vic Wilson. I got to Dunklin around 2018. I've been there for almost 5 years, and God radically changed my life there. This is where I truly met God. And it's been a privilege to serve under Sean and just going into the jail. I've been in the jail for 3 years now. Felt a calling to go into jail ministry for way before I came to Dunklin. And just to see all that unfold is really a miracle. I just pray that God be glorified in this and in the jail program. So it's an honor to be here today.
Awesome. It's great to have both of you. And we're going to talk some more about Dunklin, a little bit about, I know you can't talk a lot about the program, but a little bit. But before we do that, I want to hear a little bit of your God story. So, Sean, how did you end up in the kingdom of God? You didn't start there, I know.
No, I did not. I most definitely started in the complete opposite. I would say I grew up not going to church. I didn't have a father in my life, and just really lived life however I wanted to, and I thought that was freedom and the way to live life. And that got landed me in Martin County Jail and other jails and prison once, and it just got me down a bad path. And ultimately, I found the Lord Jesus in the Martin County Jail going through the very program that we now go to work at.
That is awesome.
And so I had no encounter with him before that. And I came over there not even really ready to change my life or give my life fully to the Lord. I just wanted to figure out how to quit going to jail. Which is funny because now I go to jail every day. God
but you get to leave.
They let us leave, yep, every day. We go in 4 days a week, but really just going over there, just recognizing that God wanted to do something in my heart and really had a plan much, much bigger than my plan. I did not go in there thinking I was going to oversee the program one day. And every day I go in there is a reminder of where I come from and where I once was, and just God's grace in my life, the fact that I get to help other men, and the fact that I'm teaching people about Jesus is nothing short of a miracle, like you were saying. So that was March 7, 2012 was my arrest date, and got saved that month in March, and, you know, just keep trying to move forward and letting the Lord work on me and serve for his kingdom.
That's awesome. Wow. That's awesome.
Praise the Lord.
Vic, give us a snippet of your God story.
Okay. A lot of similarities to what Sean was sharing. But the only thing is different is I grew up in church, and, you know, I was taught the right way. And for a lot of years, I thought I was saved, but continued to live for myself. So, I mean, I come from a 19-year drug addiction, basically, to whatever I could grab or get, and was in and out of jail, been to prison, spent a lot of time in there, and burned a lot of bridges, you know, and really came to the end of myself coming to Dunklin. So when I got to Dunklin, I was done. I was at the end. I believe I was. Because all the relationships were done, and that's how, you know, you measure addiction. It's not how much drugs you can do, it's by the relationships around you and how healthy they are. Do you have any relationships? So once I got there, best thing that's ever happened to me. I believe I was truly saved there. I don't have that moment where, you know, it was this specific moment where God touched me. I can't recall that, but it was more of a process. And you know,
so you had many touches. I know in Dunklin you get many touches.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love with the Lord there, and you know, God has changed my life radically. And I've been there 5 years, and looking back, I think the 5 years that I've been there has been my best years walking with the Lord.
Awesome.
So that's pretty much it, man.
So why prison ministry? I hear people say, it's about jailhouse religion, and, you know, you're just trying to get out, you're trying to cut corners, you're trying to use religion as a, quick bitch to, you know, get beyond where you are. And what would you say about that, Sean? I mean, we have people listening today, maybe pastors, maybe families that have relatives, maybe sons, maybe some daughters, maybe some dads, maybe some kids are listening, and they're like, you know, I've just had it. You know, I just don't see any hope whatsoever.
Right. So I would agree that, you know, often men come to jail, myself included, and still not done, still playing games, still trying to do things, you know, their way. But I would say that it's really the perfect recipe to find the Lord, because you're down and out, you're desperate, you've lost everything. I mean, there's people out there that have everything and don't recognize their deep need for a Savior. And you come to jail and you lose some things, and you start thinking a little differently about life, and you start recognizing, you know what, I need someone to save me. And maybe in the beginning, maybe that's for selfish reasons, and maybe it's still about you, but I believe that the Lord can work in that, and he just really, you know, wants an opening. You know, will we open that door, just crack it a little bit for the Holy Spirit to come in and do something? And I believe if we just crack that door, the Holy Spirit most definitely will and does do some miracles in the jail and in the prisons.
So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's no other way but through Christ, somehow God has to do a work in a person's heart to bring you to a place where you are willing to believe that and receive Christ, right?
Right.
So jail is perhaps part of God's awakening, the alarm clock.
It's the hope. I mean, that, you know, they say that, you know, you're arrested, but really we've come to learn that we've been apprehended. Mm-hmm. And I can say that the officers arrested me, or I can say that God has been chasing and pursuing me, and that he used those officers to apprehend me and to stop me in my tracks, because if I personally would have continued the way I was living, I wouldn't be sitting in here in a radio station. I'd be 6 feet under.
Wow.
So, you know, I look at it a little differently today than I did at one time.
So, Vic, do you feel the same way, that you wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for Christ meeting you at a crossroads?
Absolutely. I mean, looking back at the times I spent in jail, it was a lot of it was God trying to give me a course correction, trying to get me. It was His grace that intervened. And I see that with the guys in the jail today, that we get to be a part of their life is, you know, it's God just intervening. Because, I mean, you're on a fast track to death, really.
Yeah.
And it's God's grace trying to get your attention, and He knows exactly what that's going to take. So yeah, absolutely.
Well, Don, I know we talked early on about this, that so many people want to talk about the percentage of those who don't make it. As if there is not a absolute plan of God that's working successfully, and lives are being changed. And I know you were a little frustrated with the emphasis on how many fail, but it's important for us to say, hey, God is pulling some diamonds out of the rough out here. So Sean, tell us a little bit about Dunklin. What is Dunklin for those who don't know?
Sure. So Dunklin is Dunklin Memorial Church. It was founded in 1962 by Brother Mickey and his wife Flora May Evans, and it really started out, they threw a tent out, they started having church, and Brother Mickey did pastor a church in Indiantown, and that's kind of where he got the vision and the heart to do something. He grew up with two alcoholic parents, and although he didn't struggle with addiction himself, Brother Mickey saw firsthand, and I believe that everybody, even if you're listening and you don't struggle with addiction yourself, everybody has at least one family member that they know, unfortunately, that they see in the throes of that and struggle and battle. And so out of that, Brother Mickey had a heart to start something, and it started off just taking alcoholics in. 1962, that was pretty prevalent. And as time went on, different drugs, you know, pandemics and different things like that came about. And we take pretty much any men, it's a program for men, 9 to 10 months inpatient, and we take them into the program. We have 3 dorms, 68 beds, and we have church every Sunday open to the public at 11, and we basically run them through the program. There's 6 different classes that they go through. They'll go through with a group of men that have been there about the same amount of time, and each part of the program is set up in a certain way to not just get them defined to Jesus, we believe that's the beginning, but really to look at themselves, their hearts, learn to clean up the wreckage from their past, learn what to do moving forward. And a lot of men have came out of Dunklin and started other, they call them cities of refuge is the model. And there's actually a lot of programs throughout the United States, Canada, Estonia, Costa Rica, that, you know, they went and they started their own programs because they saw a need also to help others. So it's pretty special what God does. He takes somebody that really was, you know, opposing the kingdom of God, and then takes them to spread the gospel, and it's a pretty powerful thing.
So it's much more than just seeking to bring people to believe, or seeking to bring people to pray a prayer. It's a program that has a goal of making Jesus followers. That are discipled followers that are able to step out of the darkness of the past and move beyond the shadows that would try to track them down, and move on and become a witness. What about families? What happens to the family when someone's, you know, both of you guys had some pretty heavy stuff in your background? Is there any hope for restoration, for reconciliation?
There most definitely is. I mean, everybody has their own path and their own choices. For me personally, my mom, who most saved and came to the Lord when I was in the Martin County Jail, she saw what God was doing in my life, and
really,
and decided that she.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she asked me, you know, what's different, and so I began to tell her about Jesus, and you know, she said that she wanted that too, and wow. She invited the Lord in, and you know, my mom goes to church today. She's, you know, none of us are perfect, but. She'll thank the Lord for the small. She'll get a flat tire on the side of the road, and she'll be thanking Jesus for it. I'd be upset and mad, but I can just see, you know, she loves the Lord.
That's awesome.
And so just in a personal way, I've seen that. And you know, we have family classes and things like that. And Dunklin is very family oriented. We have marriage classes on Sunday, and we do a lot of things. We don't want to just help the individual. We want to see the whole family grow restored. And reconcile and be restored. Yeah,
that's awesome. What is the jail program? What you came to the Lord through the jail program, Vic? You were out at Dunklin. You were this is a on site. You can go to Dunklin or Dunklin can come to you, right? So that's what we're saying. There's two things going on. What's going on in the jail? How do you bring Dunklin to the jail?
So basically, Dunklin has their own curriculum, and we come in and we teach different phases of the program in the jail. And we have a lot of guys, guys come and go a little more. You have a captive audience, but you never know for how long. So we come in, we teach the curriculum, the Dunklin lessons that are geared towards being Christ-centered and also towards their recovery and overcoming their addiction. We do small group times, we do one-on-ones, and we just do a lot of things. We have the guys set goals and write forgiveness letters to try to reconcile with their family and things like that.
Awesome.
So there's a lot of different things, and Don comes in Tuesday nights and does church, and we have some AA, NA, Celebrate Recovery. They come in some nights of the week, and then a different local pastor each Sunday kind of rotates through, and they come in on Sunday morning. They do a church service live in there. So they're getting a lot of different avenues and a lot of different people pouring into them, encouraging them along the way.
David, I'm going to pull you in.
Yes, sir.
A passion in your heart is to see revival.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And we know that revival is not limited to the church house. How is the topic of revival? Do we see any of that in the prison? And David, what is your connection? I mean, you have some addiction in your background.
Well, I was, yes, I had some severe addiction. In fact, companies that made scotch, probably their stock went up when I was drinking. But coming this day, December 26th.
Plus you were in ministry?
Yeah, the Lord, talk about incremental. Still got saved in 1976. But the Lord, we had stuff he wanted to work on. So I got sober December 22nd, 2003. And so I'm coming up on 20 years.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. But, dark chocolate's the only thing I've got left to work on. But I'm not going to do that soon. But anyway, let me, because I still have connectivity with those like Don who are doing prison ministry. And what I will say, I'm so excited you're here. In fact, I even, before you go, like I said, I'm going to talk to you about the frontline ministry. Come on one Monday. I believe that revival is occurring right now. It is coming on fire in the hearts of people that are most needy for Christ.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
So we talk about the student population. They're hungry. And so Jesus is meeting them there, but in every demographic. But when you talk about every demographic in jails and prisons, you have just about every demographic. And I know that in prisons and jails, revival has already begun.
Mm-hmm.
And the fruit of that, see, that those that come out and bring Christ with them, talk about seeds that have already been planted. So yes, what you're doing is awesome.
Tell us about that, Sean and Vic. Tell us, what's happening? Are there people that are hungry? I mean, do you go in and go, Lord, send somebody that's hungry? What are you finding? Are you finding an openness, Vic?
Absolutely. I mean, we go in there and you can just feel the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, there's a desperation for these guys.
Amen.
It's not something we have to manufacture or anything. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what you're saying is that these are not people that are playing church.
For the most part.
For the most part.
There's always going to be a few
players. There are people that are hungry. There are people that are responsive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's our payday. Seeing that and seeing guys. And there's fruit that after they come out of the jail program, we're able to witness the change. They start living right. They start pursuing the Lord. They start making better decisions in their life. And start inviting accountability in their life. So absolutely, if you've ever attended, you know, one of our graduations, you would see the testimonies are awesome, you know, and it's just God's glorified in there, and it's awesome. Just, it's awesome to be a part of it.
That's awesome. So how can people get through to the program? I mean, someone's listening today, and now, you know, tell where the program's located. How would people apply, or someone may be listening today and say, hey, that's me. You know, I'm not caught, I'm not in jail, but I should be.
Sure.
And I have needs in my life, and I would just as soon, maybe somebody's listening saying, I'd just as soon get straightened out before I have to go to jail. How can I do this?
That would be wise.
Yeah.
I would say Dunklin's located on 714, out with the cows, and that was new to me. I'm from Jupiter, so I wasn't used to seeing all the cows. But
not the planet.
Yeah. So it's right past Fox Brown Road, kind of out in the middle.
And Martin County.
Yep, it's at the very end of Martin County. But the phone number, if anybody wants to call for intake, is 772-597-2841. And they can talk and just ask for intake and let them know. And even if they just want to know more about the program, they're not sure if they're ready to commit, they can always call. There's always somebody that's willing to talk to them, pray with them, answer questions. We have a lot of family members that'll call on the behalf of, you know, it's unfortunate sometimes the family members want to see the individual change before they're ready to change.
Sure.
But we have all sorts of people call, and sometimes they just, you know, need someone to talk to. So we'd love to pray for them, talk to them. We're there. The address is 3342 Southwest Hosanna Lane, Okeechobee, Florida, 34974. And it is Okeechobee, Florida, but it is Martin County. And we're there and willing. Like I said, church is open at 11 on Sundays, and we'd love to see anybody that would be interested.
All right, I have one more question, and then I'm going to ask you to close in prayer. My question is, for someone who has tried all kinds of programs, I had a neighbor, they went through 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. They went to programs here, there, everywhere. They had five kids, mom and dad, both alcoholics, a mess. And someone's listening today saying, I've already tried that and it didn't work. What would you say?
I would say Dunklin's typically the last house on the block. Typically, a lot of people come there because it's 9 to 10 month commitment. A lot of people will do the 30 days,
that's what
the 14
do.
Days, and most of the time, guys have bumped their heads a couple times before they decide, you know what, I need more help than what I've been reaching out for. And the cool thing about Dunklin is there's 25 staff members, another 20 in training. You know, you might have 60-something guys in the program, but you've got, you know, more than a 1-to-2 ratio of guys pouring in, helping throughout the day. So I'm not going to say that our program is better than any other program. I'm sure there's great programs out there, but I will say it's a special place, and it's hard to put it into words, but I definitely believe that anybody was looking for help, that would be my recommendation. It definitely worked in my life.